Now, looking at this study that your organisation has just performed, were the results surprising to you at all?
Not necessarily. I mean, we know that the the levels of intimate partner violence, those figures are actually from an analysis of the Australian the Australian Bureau of Statistics Personal Safety Survey, the one in four, and it's women who experience violence from a current or former partner, whether or not they've ever lived together. We know those figures, and we know that violence against women has a wide range of impacts, in health impacts, and we also know that on average in Australia, a woman is killed by a partner every week. So we know the extreme ends of the violence, but we also know that there are multiple health impacts.
Well, discussing those multiple health impacts, because the study does look at this in a fairly well-informed way, I guess, about the variety of ways in which women's health can be impacted by intimate partner violence. Would you mind expanding on that for us?
Sure. Look, this study was actually commissioned by ANROADS. It was conducted, the analysis, that the burden of disease analysis was conducted by the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare for ANROADS, and we've done some further analysis in a shorter paper as well. So the burden of disease methodology calculates the risk factors, a number of risk factors to health, and is able to compare those risk factors and finds that in the age group of women 18 to 44, so women in childbearing ages, and that's significant because of the maternal and reproductive health impacts that intimate partner violence can have, including spontaneous abortion and so on as a consequence, but also impacts on maternal health. And that age group is particularly significant. And it is intimate partner violence is the biggest single risk factor to health for women in that age group.
In fact, one of those other factors that you mentioned there, the research has shown that Indigenous Australian women suffer physical and sexual violence at a rate 5.3 times greater than among women of all ages. Do we have any sort of insight into why that is?
Yeah, look, what the research is showing is actually that what is greater is the there's an elevated risk for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women in terms of health impact. So the burden of disease attributed to intimate partner violence is greater for Indigenous women. But of course, that is due to the fact that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women experience violence at a higher rate than do non-Indigenous women in Australia. Now, the reasons for that are complex, and we need to, whilst we know that gender inequality is the biggest single driver of violence against women, there are other factors that contribute to that or, exacerbate those that risk. And for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women, and I should point out that the perpetrators of violence against Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women are not only Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men, it's also non-Indigenous men who perpetrate violence against Indigenous women, so they're experiencing racial and gender inequality in those contexts. There are other factors that contribute to high levels of violence in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, include the extreme social disadvantage and alcoholism and acquired brain injury and a trauma, intergenerational trauma as a consequence of colonisation. Now, these things are not, I don't mention these things to excuse in any way violence against Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women, but it is a more complex picture for them in terms of addressing the circumstances that give rise to high levels of violence and these terrible impacts in the lives of women and particularly, as we're discussing in this research, the health impacts.
Now, just looking at it across the board again, it seems whenever this discussion around domestic violence comes up, There's this almost pushback against it. I think we've seen an example this week with former Labor leader Mark Latham going on the attack against domestic violence campaigner Rosie Batty, sort of having a go at her for her organisation when she's been through some particularly terrible times. We see this kind of pushback as if mentioning domestic violence, talking about domestic violence and the reason behind it are some sort of slur against all men. Now, this research saying, no, men partners, intimate partners, are the number one health risk to women between those ages that you mentioned there. Do you think having this kind of research to point back to is a good way of sort of opening this discussion around domestic violence, intimate partner violence?
Look, I mean, I think we have to talk about domestic violence and intimate partner violence, you know, from all angles, because it has a wide range of impacts, and we've got to address it from the various angles that where it impacts. You know, so what the implications of this research is that health policy and health practitioners have a significant role to play in the early detection of intimate partner violence, and that then therefore they have an opportunity to respond appropriately and therefore minimise the risk of health impacts for women. So the earlier we can identify the symptoms that women are presenting with, so depression and anxiety, for example, if they are associated with intimate partner violence and that's detected early, then we can minimise those risks. So, you know, there is a really important role to play here for health practitioners. So, you know, we do need to be able to talk about intimate partner violence from the many angles. However, there are some people, unfortunately, who will always want to push back, and you know, Mark Latham seems to be one of those people, but it doesn't detract. I mean, the evidence is there, and we just need to keep going back to the evidence to demonstrate that this is a significant problem for many women in Australia, and we need to be doing all we can to ensure that we significantly reduce and ultimately end violence against women.
Well, Heather, very very important conversation to be having. Thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us on this morning.
Thank you very much, Sean.